I mean, if you're waking up with energy 999 days out of 1,000, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. I would say, you know, barring like sickness or something, like, yeah, I have the most amazing alarm clock in the world. It's Chase. He gets up before I do. And he just naturally wakes up earlier. And then the night before, I usually tell him, like, hey, can you get me up at like 5:30 or 6 or whatever it is? And so he comes in. He's my alarm clock. And so he'll, like, you know, rub my shoulder. He'll rub my head. He'll, like, tell me sweet things. That's how I wake up every morning. Oh, so, wow. Like, what woman or man, you know, what person wouldn't want to be woken up in the most loving way possible like that? So that also is additive to the wake up process.
Damn. Okay. So that's the missing piece. All right. I got it now.
Yeah.
That's the missing
piece. Just get a dog, and maybe that would, you know, like, if you don't have a partner, you know, get a pet, get an animal that can wake you up in a nice way like that too. I don't know.
Come with a lot of responsibility.
True.
But getting back to, I guess, one of the main reasons I also wanted to bring you on was, and you've mentioned it a couple times now, which is HPV. Mm-hmm. I have heard that term before, but I know I've heard that term a lot more than I've heard AHCC. So the acronym HPV. And then you hit me with a startling statistic. I think you said something like 80% of men and like 90% of women will get it at some point in their life. And I was like, wait, there's something I've never heard of, but 90% of people, 85% of people will get this at some point in their life. So what is HPV?
Yeah. So HPV stands for human papilloma virus. And this is actually a cluster of viruses. So there's about 150 different strains that fall under this category of HPV, human papilloma virus. And there's about 150-ish, there may be even more, depending on what sources you're looking at. Sorry, I have to sneeze.
Do it. Will not be bleeped.
It's not coming out, but it might in a few seconds. Oh. HPV is about 40 of those 150 strains are sexually transmitted. So some of them are not sexually transmitted, but they're just like skin to skin contact. So sometimes you'll see little kids with like warts on their elbows or warts on their hands. And that can also be a strain of HPV that wasn't sexually transmitted, but maybe they rubbed up against someone who had it and it's just skin to skin contact. So about 40 strains are sexually transmitted, and a few of those strains can actually lead to different types of cancer if they are left untreated or unaddressed or unsupported. So cervical cancer, for example, is the fourth most common type of cancer for women, and they are kind of linking it back to HPV, that 99% of cervical cancers are linked to HPV. So what they see is that people who are HPV positive, it can lead to something like cervical cancer. It's still a very low amount. Like, out of the people that get diagnosed with HPV, only 1% or less will be diagnosed with some sort of cervical cancer or otherwise. But this doesn't just affect women. Like you said, I'll correct your stat a little bit. It's upwards of 90% of men will be exposed to HPV, and 80% roughly of women will be exposed to HPV. These are sexually active individuals. So because it's sexually transmitted, some of the strains don't have any like physical manifestations. Those are the high risk strains. So the high risk strains are most closely linked to the types of cancer, cervical cancer, like I said, but even for men, like penile, anal, like these things can come up from this diagnosis. And then there's also the low risk strains that would be more closely linked to like genital warts and benign growths. So it's not ideal. It's not convenient to have that, but it's not necessarily, those low risk strains are not necessarily linked to cancer. So yeah, it's a big thing. It's 14 million new cases of HPV are diagnosed every year, and those are the ones, whoa, that are just diagnosed. 80 million Americans have at least one strain of HPV in their body and 14 million new cases every year. So this is a big thing. It's a big problem that no one wants to talk about because of the sexual nature, because it's an STI and most are spread through sexual contact. It's something that I am obviously very passionate about, and I am determined to educate on, not because I've, not that I know of, I've never experienced or had to deal with HPV, but in my education around AHCC, a lot of the research is linked to HPV research. And so as I share about HCC, I get droves and droves and droves of women who are HPV positive and have no solutions from conventional medicine. So they find me on Instagram, and I sort of guide and help them, support them through the process of learning what is going to help them in clearing this virus out of their body. But mainstream medicine is not doing that. And it's really isolating for women because, like I told you before we pushed record, there is no test for men. I think I told you that. There is no test for men. There's no FDA simple HPV test for men. So if you have one of the strains that leads to genital warts, you'd probably know, and you can get a visual diagnosis from a healthcare practitioner. But men are not getting tested for the high risk strains. So they can be living their life, being free, doing all the things that young people do, and be a carrier of a high risk strain of HPV and not even know it. So then the woman goes in, his partner goes in, she's been exposed and HPV is in her body. And she goes and gets a pap test, which is, you know, done at the gynecologist's office. And it comes back positive for abnormal cell growth, which then they do another test, an HPV test, to see if it's linked to HPV. A lot of times that comes back positive. So now she is carrying the burden of this diagnosis on her own because there is no test for men. So women are very alone in dealing with this because a lot of men and people who have heard of HPV and know that it can lead to cervical cancer, they think that it's a woman's issue, but it's not. It's a human issue. It's human papillomavirus, not woman papillomavirus. It's it can affect any human. So that is really where a lot of my work lies right now, is educating and supporting women and their partners on how to navigate all of this, because there is, like I said, next to zero solutions coming from the mainstream medical model.
So why is there no test for men?
You know, your guess would be as good as mine.
They have the technology. There's not like a genetic difference that's too much. Like, you know, we're talking gynecologists. There's body parts women have that guys don't, whether or not people want to admit that. Yeah. So is it not right. Is it like more difficult to test guys, or is there a different way that could be done?
I don't know the answer. I don't have a good answer here because this is one point of frustration for me. This is a huge point of frustration for me. I know that the technology exists because there's research on men who have HPV. So I know they have the ability to test for it. Why it is not available to the average guy to just walk into a Planned Parenthood and get an HPV test, it's not out there yet. I don't know. I don't know why. And it's a huge piece of frustration. It's a point of frustration for me because, again, it's contributing to the woman feeling completely isolated. I don't know.
So do majority of, like, I had no idea of this, but do women generally know what HPV is?
I mean, 70% of adults have never even heard of HPV. So I don't know if it skews towards men or women. I mean, the only thing that would make me say yes, probably more women know about HPV than men, is they're going into their gynecologist every couple of years to get checked out and to get looked at. And they might talk about, hey, we're going to do an HPV test, or you're due for your HPV test. Oh, what's HPV? Oh, it's this virus, blah, 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 blah. Also, women were hit really hard in the early 2000s with the HPV, trying not to say the V word, the HPV shot called Gardasil. So they originally hit women really hard with this marketing propaganda campaign. And their tagline was "Be one less," meaning be one less woman who gets cervical cancer. So I think in general, probably women are more aware of HPV, but I've literally interviewed people on the street and most people have no idea what HPV is.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, because I mean, and now that I'm thinking about it, this is probably where I've heard it before, is whenever kids are born, that nurses will encourage the parents to get an HPV V word jab or poke or whatever we want to call it.
I think you're thinking of hepatitis B.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, because they don't recommend the HPV shot until about 9 years old for little boys and little girls now. But at birth, yes, the hepatitis B V word is offered basically day one of life, which is, in my opinion, completely unnecessary because babies are not at risk of hepatitis B. It's from intravenous drug users and people who are sexually promiscuous, and they test women for hepatitis B before they give birth anyway. So they know if mom has it or not. So in my opinion, there is no use for that V word.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And I mean, so I guess the next question then is if at the age of 10 or 11, everyone's getting, majority of people, let's say at least, are getting poked with something that's supposed to prevent it, then why is HPV still a thing? Why is it that you created a program around it? Why are there people that still need cured?
Because there are, I believe that the vaccine is not as effective as they claim. And from their own data, they say that the efficacy window, which I'm not even convinced is as efficacious as they say it is, but they, from their own data, say that it's only effective for 5 years. So if a child gets vaccinated, sorry, I said the V word. If a child gets the poke,
honestly, you said it earlier too. I think this might be a podcast that doesn't get put up on YouTube. I'll be honest. I gotta just protect. And guys, I apologize, but.
You can bleep it out. I don't care or whatever, but I'll try not to say it from here on out. I mean, this is what sucks about this conversation, is because I'm honestly trying to give people well-rounded information that is not going to come from their doctor, unfortunately. But this is the reality. It's really tough. I think from their own data, like I was saying, if a child gets it at age 9, most people are not sexually active until 16, 17, 18. Like, yeah, there's some outliers for sure. But so like by the time that they're sexually active, is it even doing anything for them anymore? Did it even do anything for them at the beginning? Are there a lot of negative side effects? Potentially? Yes. Yeah, this is a huge part of my education. And so you asked, why did I create a program for people who are navigating HPV? Because there are no holistic solutions. We know that 100% of the cases of HPV that are cleared are because the immune system is clearing it. It ultimately comes down to your immune system every single time. So what kind of information and education are providers giving their patients and clients to support their immune system if they have an active infection? So the solutions that they give people are not actually solutions. The first non-solution is, okay, you tested positive, just come back in a year and we'll retest you and see if anything's progressed. Okay, well, that's not a solution. That's a waiting game. And yes, the body does have the ability to clear it in that year, but she, is left asking all types of questions. What do I do? How do I talk to my partner? Is there anything that I can do to help myself with this? Are these procedures that they're talking about for me? Is this safe? What can I do? Like, there's all these questions running through the mind of someone who was just diagnosed and their provider is sort of nonchalant and saying, just come back in a year. Well, that's not a solution. Like I said, that's a waiting game. Okay. So the next solution that they might talk about is the V. This is another really frustrating part for me because on the CDC HPV website itself, on the CDC website, they have an HPV info page, many info pages, and it says on there verbatim, this shot will not clear an active HPV infection. So why then are they giving it to people with active HPV infections? Well, they say, well, I want my patient to feel like she's doing something. In my opinion, in my research, in my exploration of holistic health, when the body is already overstressed and overtaxed in clearing something like a virus, the last thing that they need is a hefty dose of aluminum, which is one of the most toxic substances on the planet. How is that helpful to the healing process? It's not. So that is another non-solution. The next non-solution that they might give a woman is called a LEEP procedure, L-E-E-P, loop electrosurgical excision procedure, which is for women who have some level of cervical dysplasia, meaning they have abnormal cells on their cervix that are presenting. So the doctor will recommend a LEEP procedure, which is they go in, they put a speculum in, they open everything up, and they literally take a hot wire and scoop off part of the cervix that has cervical dysplasia. So from this, women can have, it's very painful, first of all. There's can be some side effects with healing and not properly healing, bleeding, pain. Also, I just talked to a woman yesterday. She was interviewing me and she had this procedure done when she was very young. And she said her cervix was numb for years. It impacts sexual health. It can impact fertility because scar tissue can develop over that excision process, that cutting away. It can form cervical, or it can form, sorry, my brain is farting. It can form scar tissue. That's what I'm trying to say. It can form scar tissue, which it can impact a woman's ability for her body to open up during the birthing process. So when a woman is in labor, her cervix has to completely open. If there's scar tissue, one of my very dear friends had a very complicated birth because she had this scar tissue on her cervix that was not able to open up in the right way. And she had to be rushed to the hospital. Like it's not some little thing. And on top of that, on top of all the issues that can happen in that way, it's not an actual solution because you're not supporting the body in clearing the HPV. So women come to me and they say, okay, I had a LEEP procedure, but I still have HPV. I thought I was good. I thought I was clear. Because there's a lack in education around this. So that the woman comes away thinking that she's good. She got rid of it. No, it's still in your body. You still need to support your body in clearing the HPV, which means supporting your immune system. So that is why I exist, I feel like, right now on this earth plane. And part of my purpose is me bringing together different experiences and lessons that I've gone through in my life. And you might want to say like niches, I guess, with AHCC and, you know, working with women, coaching women, being a health coach. And then also my experience with shame, because there's a lot of shame that goes into this diagnosis because it's sexually transmitted. Women feel dirty. Mm. They feel gross. They feel like their bodies betrayed them. They feel isolated, alone, embarrassed to even talk about this. And I've dealt with a lot of shame in my life. And I've also gone through the process of releasing it and letting it go and getting to the point where it doesn't affect my daily life anymore. And that is also one aspect that I help women with. So myself and my colleague, Dr. Nathan Riley, who is a holistic OBGYN, he's one of my best friends. And he is, I've not met a more prominent advocate for women out there than this man. And because he has a holistic view, our values line up perfectly on how we support women through this process. So we were just fed up. We were fed up with the mainstream medical model, leaving women in the dust to figure this out for themselves, anxious and alone and isolated. And I had 4 years of experience guiding women through this process of addressing all these things. But I literally don't have enough hours in the day to guide every woman that comes to me in my DMs. So Nathan, Dr. Nathan and I got together and we were like, dude, we got to do something about this. Like, we need to create something that can help any woman out there who's navigating this. So we did. And we've been working on this for a year. It's a self-guided 8-week online program or course that guides women and educates women and their partners through this process of, we talk about the V, we talk about basic education on HPV and all the different strains and everything. We talk about what your body needs on all these different levels for physical support. We talk about HCC and medicinal mushrooms, how they can support the body, but also what are you putting in your mouth in the form of food? What kind of water are you drinking? Are you even hydrated? What kind of movement are you engaging in? Are you engaging in movement that's too much or too little or not conducive for healing? How is your mindset? What are you telling yourself about yourself on a daily basis? Are you telling yourself a negative story about yourself? Are you carrying shame that's impacting your stress response to life? All of these things go into healing and clearing HPV. And we just saw the massive lack in support and guidance and education from the conventional medical model. And we decided to do something about it. So that program is called Clear and Free. And it is the only holistic solution to clearing persistent HPV that I've ever seen.
So it sounds like you go, it's not even just from a physical level, it's also from just a psychological perspective that you also are approaching within this program.
Yes, absolutely. We are providing support on a physical, mental, emotional, relational. So like I mentioned before, women feel isolated and alone. They don't know their partners, say they're in a long-term relationship or even a marriage. They come back home from the gynecologist and they say, I have HPV. It's sexually transmitted. And dude guy doesn't know that he's carrying it. And he's like, what have you been doing? Where is this coming from? And there is this blame, shame, guilt, judgment that goes on for a lot of couples. I literally just talked to a woman a couple days ago. And she's only been with two men in her life. She's 26, only slept with two men in her life, now has HPV, and her current boyfriend, who she could have, that's where she could have gotten it from. He was shaming her, blaming her. He's like, what did you bring home, kind of thing. And it's just fucking heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking for me to hear these women's stories and to know that there's nothing out there for them that can guide them through this process and support them in this way. And so that's what we created. And we have specific lessons in this course that are directed right at the man, right at the partner, saying like, hey, dude, if you've been having sex with your partner, you're in this too. This is you. This is a team effort. This is not a her issue. This is a you guys, you two. You are a team. You need to support her and you need to support yourself, because it's likely that you're dealing with the same thing. There's just no test for men. So there's a lot of mystery and confusion around this whole topic, which we shed light on in every possible practical way that we know how. And so I've had the last 4 years of experience working with women and hearing their stories and guiding them through this process in my back pocket. And then obviously Dr. Nathan Riley's clinical experience working with women who have HPV, cervical dysplasia, and cervical cancer. And then we're both obviously very united in our approach to health. So it kind of just created the perfect storm for us to get something out there to help anyone and everyone who's navigating this.
And yeah, I can see how, from a man's perspective, how something you've never heard about, and then you're told that it's a sexually transmitted disease, and yet you're sitting there feeling good. Like, I feel fine. Like, so it's definitely not for me. And then your mind just instantly goes to the nervous system probably gets activated. And so then you attack and you probably shame, and we can all probably attest to how that trauma plays out. So, and this is the majority of the time, right? I think you said this at one point, but my mind is blanking. But majority of HPV is unnoticed, or it's like not a, like there's no physical symptoms of it. And I'm specifically talking to men, because I guess women can get tested, but men, majority of the time, there's no physical symptoms of whether or not you have it.
So remember that there's two buckets, low risk strains and high risk strains. The low risk strains are more associated with things like genital warts and benign growths. So in that case, if a man is exposed to like a low risk strain, he might see a little wart pop up and be like, what is this? That would be a low risk strain. So in that case, there is a physical manifestation that can pop up. Now, you can have a low risk strain in your body, living in your body for years before it pops up. So it's really hard to know where and who and how and when you got it, because it can live in the body for years before it actually manifests as a benign growth or a wart or whatever. The high risk strains are the ones that women go into to the gynecologist to get tested for, because there is no, you're not going to be like, I'm kind of having some cramps down there, I think something is wrong, let me go get tested. Like, there's no physical manifestation that someone would feel, man or woman. You don't feel the cervical dysplasia. I've never heard of a case where someone was like, maybe they're really in tune with their body and they can feel like, I think something's off. Maybe that person exists. But to my knowledge, no, with the high risk strains, I've never heard of a case where somebody had a physical manifestation that they were cued into right when they got it or whatever. It's not necessarily like when you get exposed to a cold and your body's like fighting something and you can, you know, you have a little drip in the back of your throat or you feel achy a little bit. You're like, I think I'm fighting something. There's nothing like that for the high risk strains.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And what is even kind of coming up within me, because I've seen this a lot in my personal life recently, and I guess even some clients, if you will, is this idea of stepping into our power. And I am bringing this back to whenever you were talking about how there's a part in your program where you're helping women how to navigate this conversation. Because I know that this is a difficult one, especially in the paradigm of a woman bringing it to a guy. And I think it, all humans, all of humanity, maybe Americans in general, I think there's a difficulty around stepping into our power. I think that's something that's like a real big energy point, if you will, that I think as humans, as we're evolving our awareness and understanding and consciousness of on Earth, power seems to be like the next thing that we're poking at. So in terms of this energy, how are you helping women to become empowered, especially when talking about something that's seems almost impossible to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So I think early on in the program and how I support women is just getting educated on the prevalence and incidence. So prevalence meaning how many people have this currently, and incidence meaning how common is it, like new cases like popping up, right? So when you learn how common it is, there's almost like this, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not a weirdo. I'm not crazy. I'm not this. I'm not that. A lot of people deal with this. I think it starts there being like, oh, okay, I didn't know that so many people dealt with this same thing that I'm dealing with. It's with how common it is. I call it this the common cold of the cervix. It's so common. So I think just women getting educated in that way is the first little like sigh of relief that they get to take. Then on an energetic level, when we are supporting them in how to, if they are more educated on how common this is and how it's spread and how it can live in the body for years before it pops up, then they can take that information in a loving way to their partner and say, hey, I tested positive. Here's the fact sheet on HPV. And they are able to actually educate their man on this because he probably doesn't know anything about it either. And so when they feel like they are equipped with the knowledge and tools to be able to speak to this thing and understand how common it is and just some of the basics around it, that also gives people a sigh of relief. Then we also guide people on how to bring it up, meaning the energetics of how to bring it up with your partner. This is not a blame, shame, guilt, judgment thing. This is not that. And we do not advocate for that. We advocate for teamwork. And so inviting your partner into a conversation, hey, I'd like to talk to you about something that's really important to me. When is a good time for you? That's really easy to digest for a man instead of walking through the door and saying, did you give me HPV? Who have you been sleeping with? Like, it happens. And so that is not conducive for a productive conversation where there is a team orientation. So we guide people on literally how to set up the conversation, what points to make, how to enroll their partner in the actual healing process, because it's a them thing. It's not just a her thing, how to enroll them in the process. And then they feel like they're part of the team rather than isolated and on their own. And I would also say for the spiritual aspect and the mindset stillness piece, I created two different guided frequency meditations. So we used specific frequencies that are tied to specific chakra centers, so energy centers in the body, specifically the sacral chakra, for obvious reasons. If someone doesn't know what the sacral chakra is, it's the second chakra up. It's the orange ray. It is basically governing your reproductive organs and some other things too. But for obvious reasons, we want that energy center to be flowing harmoniously, the energy to be flowing in there easily, freely, and not have any blockages. So I have guided meditations to help balance. And I also include some visualization in bringing in these healing frequencies into your body so that you feel like you are assisting your body. You are supporting your body. Your body has not betrayed you. You are a team. You are stacking the deck in your favor if you treat your body like a friend that you're meant to help rather than a misbehaving prisoner. So your body is not betraying you. Your body is working its freaking ass off for you 24/7, all day, every day, trying to do all these things for you. Sometimes she just needs support. And that's where we come in, changing some of the lifestyle factors and stacking the deck. Like I said, stacking the deck in your favor to heal. So we have the sacral chakra visualization and guided meditation. And then we also have the throat chakra. So in utero, fun fact, in utero, the cervical tissue and the throat tissue, the pharynx, the larynx, the throat tissue differentiates from the same embryonic tissue. So literally, and if you look at the structures of a cervix and a throat, they're very similar. So this in utero, they differentiate into the throat and the cervix. And so there is a substantial link, an energetic link between the cervical tissue and the throat tissue. And so we also have a guided meditation around the throat chakra. I find that women who have persistent HPV are also not using their authentic voice in a way that is, that feels, how do I want to say this? They are not fully stepping into their authentic voice. They have something that they want to say that they're not saying. They don't feel like they can voice their opinions or their truth or whatever it is. So this is also, obviously, I'm speaking to the energetics, the spiritual aspect of this connection from the throat to the cervix. So we have a process of getting a woman into her space, into her psyche, and how can we get this authentic voice flowing so that this energy center, this throat chakra, is more balanced. So that's a long-winded answer to you know, speak to all of the aspects that we support women and guide women in. But yeah, it's
a great all-inclusive.
It's a very deep dive, and we've done our best to support women on every level.
Yeah, I'm pulling up pictures of like the cervix and throat, and it's pretty crazy. I mean, even if you zoom back out, sorry, we'll get back to that. I need to touch on this because it looks pretty crazy. Even looking at, let me see what part this is. Oh, even looking at like the uterus, it seems like there are still similarities. Like they have a picture of, there's a picture of the uterus I'm looking at, and then there's also a picture of like the back of somebody's throat, like where the what would you call that? The little thing hangs uvula. Down. The uvula. You're good. Okay, good. You're on it. At least you know. I see a lot of similarities. So that's a pretty wild a find there. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Yeah. And that's so fascinating too, looking at that from a, let's say, more spiritual, energetic place, that there is a deep connection, especially with women, as we can see today, that there is a very tight-knit, let's say, blockage, you know, whether it's man's fault or not, who knows? I mean, we can probably surmise a bunch of different things, but that there is a tight blockage here in regards to that the sacral chakra and then the throat chakra, of how there's like this very tight overlap in women versus like this block that seems to probably be appearing in both those places.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite fascinating. And yeah, the deeper that I got into this work and hearing women's stories directly from women who are navigating this and helping them with this process, and then learning about what I just told you, like the embryonic tissue differentiating, it was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense based on what I've already experienced with women. And yeah, it's just, it's pretty wild, dude.
The other thing that was standing out in there, and it just blows my mind the more I think about this. I think it was something I brought up on your podcast as well, which is the idea that we have this, like the saying that ignorance is bliss. And to me, the more I get more in touch with wisdom, more I get in touch with truth, more I get in touch with stories like this, they all just point to the fact that ignorance is actually painful. Like, it's actually very painful to be ignorant of anything. Mm-hmm. Like and the truth, I think, lies more that wisdom is bliss. The more you know, the more tools you have, your life is going to be more blissful. And it seems self-evident what you're saying. Like, just educate. Just, hey, like starting that conversation off, hey, we need to talk about HPV. Yeah, it's in 85% of people have the probability of being exposed to it. And like, just even starting it off there, you get relaxed from it. Like, if you didn't know that, there'd be a lot more tension, a lot more tightness, a lot more fear than you would like. And it, I don't know. I'm just getting excited that there's more evidence here to wisdom is bliss and ignorance is actually painful.
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on how you want to look at that. I totally agree. I would much rather know the truth and be able to make an informed decision such that it leads to more freedom in my life. I think the ignorance is bliss. Like, I know what they're trying to say. I know that what there's, I can appreciate the saying, but it's not real bliss. Real bliss, I think, comes from knowing the truth, knowing that you have agency over a lot of your life experience, a lot of what you create in your life, and then being able to use that to proactively create from a place of wisdom and being informed of reality and being informed of the truth. I would much rather be wise and slightly disturbed than ignorant completely. I know you're this way too, just because we've talked now for, 5 hours between the two podcasts. It's like, I want to keep discovering. I want to keep unraveling parts of myself and keep finding areas inside myself that need to be looked at, that are inviting me to turn on the light that I haven't seen before. Like, yeah, I get that you don't know what you don't know. And so, like, our life invites us into acquiring knowledge and wisdom and being open to, like, okay, this might not be like super fun to look at, but it's going to lead to more wisdom, which will lead to eventual freedom for me, because I will have all the information that I need to make an informed decision on.
And that, I think, is what brings us back to, I think it was verse 2 of Gospel of Thomas, the one we talked about on your podcast, where it's like, it seems like wisdom is, it's painful in the short term, but it's blissful in the long term. And ignorance is blissful in air quotes. It's not true bliss, but it's freeing in the short term, but it's painful in the long term. I think probably the key point there.
Yeah. It's pseudo bliss in the short term, and it's not blissful in the long term, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I mean, look at the guy that's sitting on his couch eating potato chips and not doing it, has no aim of in direction in life. He's not in a blissful, like, he has that short term pleasure, if you will, but like long term, he's not gonna be able to walk upstairs. His quality of life is gonna diminish very, very quickly. And so if he was just wiser and he knew to make better choices, it would be a much more lucrative life in the long term.
Yeah, I think we have to choose our hard. Going to the gym is hard. Lifting heavy weights is hard. It's not easy. But also being overweight and having diabetes and cardiovascular disease and cancer and all of that, like, that's really hard too. So I think that we have to choose our hard. I would rather choose the hard that's going to lead to long-term freedom and forego some of the, you know, short-term gratification and pleasure. Not all of it, right? Because we're still human and we still indulge from time to time, knowing that it's not the best thing for us. And I'm not saying that we all need to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think we are invited into just being human. Is part of it is choosing your hard. What kind of hard do you want to experience? Because life is hard either way. Whether you're ignorant or you're fully informed, it's going to be hard. Which outcome, you know, is more attractive to you?
Oh, sorry, party foul. I didn't know that I had a alarm set. Today's Tuesday. Why would that go off? Okay, sorry about that, guys. oh, my bad. There should not be any alarms on Tuesday at this time. Yeah. And, you know, there has to be so many corollaries here in regards to, like, what's hard and what's easy and what's long-term pain and short-term. And it seems to make a parallel back to what we're talking about with women stepping into their power. And again, I don't say that as, like, just women. I think everybody needs to do it in a healthy way. But in, like, say, the paradigm of a male-female relationship, a woman stepping into her power to be able to talk to her man, you know, I see how this conversation of wisdom overlaps it extremely well. And, you know, again, I think there's responsibility on the man's part or behalf to nurture a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Nurture a, an environment where they can feel empowered. But I don't know. It's very fascinating to look back and see, like, all right, how can women step into their power more? Or I don't even like segregating off to men and women, but it just seems like at a conversational level, we need to find a way that people are able to step into that power more of saying what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, so that we can all enjoy a prosperous future, a more blissful future for humanity's sake. Forget about your relationship. I mean, I guess for humanity to be blissful, your relationship needs to be blissful, but it definitely seems like a huge thing that is occurring here. And so that's dope. That's dope that you're targeting that a lot in your program.
Yeah, it's, I will say, the most fulfilling project that I've been a part of. And it's the biggest project that I've been a part of. And I am just beyond grateful and honored for the opportunity to get to guide and support women who are desperate for it. Like, I mean, it feels honestly like this is one of my purposes, why I exist on this plane. So it feels good to step into that and take up the mantle. You know, a lot of people, you know, because I educate so much about HPV, they make the assumption that, oh, she must have dealt with HPV or cleared it for herself or whatever. And I have no problem people thinking that about me. I don't care what people think, but no, I haven't. I just saw the huge need for it. And women were finding me all over the world, desperate for help, desperate for answers, for solutions, for just a friend that can hold their hand and that they can talk to and openly and not feel judged or whatever. And I am happy to take up the mantle and advocate for women who are not getting it elsewhere. It's a really important, I don't know. It feels like it's my purpose right now.
That's beautiful. I mean, I think that's something that probably majority of people are looking for in life is like, what is the thing I need to do right now? Which, yeah, I don't know, can be all pervading, if you will, but it seems like the path opens the more that you push in through it or push into it. And a question I kind of have here is like, you're talking about clearing HPV, but the beginning of our podcast, we were talking about AHCC. Do you integrate those two at all? Like, is there any sort of usage of AHCC in regards to, because I know you're talking about immune health, all this different stuff. Are those used in combination with each other?
Yes. So a big piece of the course is education around AHCC and how supportive it is of the immune system. And there have been multiple clinical studies showing benefit of someone who has HPV taking AHCC and having AHCC basically support the eradication or the clearing of HPV. So the most recent study came out of Texas. The lead researcher is Dr. Judah Smith, and she took a group of 50 women who had persistent high-risk HPV, so meaning the high-risk strains that can lead to cervical cancer. Persistent, meaning they've had it for at least 2 years or more. So for whatever reason, the body isn't able to clear it quickly on its own. So she took 50 of these women, separated them into two groups, the placebo group, true placebo group, an inert placebo pill, and then the treatment group received AHCC for 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, they tested them like monthly, I think. And in the treatment group, 64% of the women in that group were cleared of their high-risk persistent HPV in 6 months or less.
Wow.
With only adding AHCC into their life. That's amazing. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal results for a treatment that has no negative side effects, mind you. In the placebo group, how many women cleared on their own apart from using AHCC? Only two women. So it equaled about 10%. 10% of women in the placebo group were able to clear versus 64% in the treatment group. That is statistically wildly significant. But as amazing as AHCC is, it's only one piece of the puzzle. If someone is adding AHCC into their life, but they're going through the drive-thru 5 times a week, they are not moving their body or moving their body too much. Maybe they're addicted to exercise and they're constantly in a stress state. They're not allowing their body rest and recovery. Not great. If they have a negative view of self and they're telling themselves all sort of negative stories, if they are not providing stillness for themselves, these are all just as important in the conversation around clearing HPV. So as amazing as AHCC is, I just spent, you know, an hour of this podcast talking about how amazing AHCC is. It makes me wonder if these women in this group, which I know it would never happen because in clinical studies, they can only look at one variable, right? You're only changing one variable so you know if this variable had an impact, right? So the variable was HCC. But how many of those women, how many more of those women would have been cleared if they had guidance on nutrition, movement, mindset, stillness, spirituality, if they had support from their husband or boyfriend? So that's why I am so adamant about, yes, HCC is a significant, it's an important piece of the puzzle, but it's only one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Numbers like that really make your jaw drop of like how many people. Jeez. Yeah. It's because that was, I think you kind of answered it, but my follow-up question was going to be like, you know, you have what seems here two great products, you know, a course and then this AHCC product. If someone has HPV, is there a way that they could know, like, okay, maybe I should just try AHCC, or they should jump into your program of clearing HPV? Like, is there some sort of internal dialogue or questions they could ask themselves to make a choice on which one is more adequate? Or, I mean, I guess both is the best in the long term, but, you know, maybe one makes more sense in certain situations.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say, depending on their diagnosis, whether how severe the cervical dysplasia is, and I won't get into all the grading and everything. It's going to muddy the water. But depending on their diagnosis and depending on what they want to do, like, I mean, if somebody just wants to try AHCC and that's what their budget can afford right now, and they only want to use AHCC and just start there, yeah, I think that that's totally great. Do it. More power to you. I would say you're going to, with this course, with this program, I've put all of my information that exists in my brain from the last 4 years of guiding women into this program. And so, yes, if you want to just try AHCC and just see if that works for you, great. Love it. I love that for you. If you really want to be supported on every single level and have all of the education in your back pocket and feel fully equipped in every area of your life to stack the deck in your favor, to celebrate a negative test sooner, then the course is for you. Also with the course, you'll be a part of a community of women who are navigating the exact same things that you are. You'll also have access to myself and my colleague, Dr. Nathan Riley. And we are having 6 monthly calls. So women in the course will have 6 monthly calls with Nathan and I to ask questions. Hey, I'm having an issue with this, or hey, what about this over here? Or like, I'm experiencing this, like whatever you need, however you need support, we're there for you with these monthly calls. And then we're also bringing in other holistic health experts to add their niche and add to your awareness bucket, your health tools bucket. So we're inviting in other people. And like I said, you'll be a part of the community, which one thing that women feel a lot is that isolation and shame, and they just feel very alone. Sometimes I'm the only person that this woman has told that they have HPV, and they're sorely missing just a friend, someone who knows what they're going through. So the community aspect, you know, we are not made to live going solo through every negative circumstance or event in our life. And I think when we can attach ourselves and link to other people who care or have some insight into what we're going through, that adds an invaluable nutrient to the person's healing experience that's going to be mostly psychic and energetic and spiritual, that obviously positively contributes to the well-being of your life and feeling equipped to handle what comes at you and equipped to make the necessary changes in order to be as healthy and balanced as possible to support your immune system in the best way. So I think the community aspect is very, very important.
Yeah, that's also, it's a pretty big theme I've been working on myself, is learning the power of community and really stepping into cultivate. Like, I have one, but I'm starting to realize I need to find a way to be more proactive in it and cultivate a stronger connection within it. But that's a whole nother rabbit hole that I don't think we have time for today. But with that being said, Mimi, thank you so much for being here. This was dope. This was a wealth of knowledge, I know, for myself. So I know other people are going to get it. Knowledge as well. I'm going to put your links down in the description. Also, this podcast is actually going to have a pretty quick turnaround. The first part will be released on Thursday. So with that being said, this is your opportunity to speak to the audience. We talked at length about your stuff, but if you want to plug it, if you want to have any closing remarks for the audience, this is your space to talk directly to them. And with that being said, the floor is yours.
Yeah. What I would say to the audience is going to be short and sweet. Don't give up. You can heal. And I have made it my purpose and mission to support you in that. If you have any questions, if anyone has any questions about AHCC or the program, you can DM me directly. My handle is Mimi_themedicine on Instagram. And then if you're listening and you know that you want to be a part of this group, you can, again, you can message me directly and we'll talk and we'll actually jump on a call. So I offer a free 30-minute call for everyone who's interested in the course to talk through it and see if it's a good fit for you and see if it's right for you. But I will also, Clayton, give you the link. It's not like the easiest link to memorize for signing up for the wait list. So when people get on the wait list, you get basically like VIP pricing. So it's the lowest price that it will be ever offered again. And our next cohort opens up at the end of October, but anyone can sign up for the waitlist at any point. It's just that you'll have access to the lessons at the end of October, early November timeframe. So with the waitlist, you get a huge discount, the lowest price possible. And then you also get a one-on-one call with myself or Nathan for extra support. You also get your first bottle of AHCC free. And then you get the 6 monthly calls with myself, Nathan, and other holistic health experts. So all of that is provided to people who join the waitlist. And I'll give you Clayton the link for the waitlist. And there's no obligation. Like, if somebody joins the waitlist, you're just joining the waitlist, and then you get on a call with me, we talk and we see if it's right for you. There's no obligation if you just join the waitlist. It basically just locks in all of those bonuses and the lowest price possible for you. So I think that's all. I think that that's and when in doubt, if you missed anything, literally just DM me. Just send me a message on Instagram. That's, I think, enough information.
That's enough information. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of cool. The new format that I've been doing is I'll break it up into like different parts. So like the first hour will be one part, part two will be the second hour. I've just find that I think it's so much easier to consume this type of information, like broken up a little bit. So yeah, that's my last bit. Mimi, again, thank you so much for being here. Incredible time talking to you, getting to know you, because I've been talking to Chase for a while now, and I know we've been exchanging emails. So it's cool to spend, what, 5 hours with each other, 6 hours in the last
last week or whatever it was. Yeah. No, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate your curiosity, and you had great questions. And yeah, I was just really grateful to get the opportunity to connect with you and your audience.
Yeah, likewise. I know we've got probably more podcasts doing together in the future, so I definitely look forward to those. And hopefully they're more in person in the future too. I need to get on that, make that happen. But cool. Mimi, thank you so much for being here. Guys, go check out her stuff. And if you do not check out her stuff, we'll have a talk about it when we see you all in the sixth dimension.